Okay, first of all, do you celebrate Valentine? Do you celebrate Valentine?
I don't celebrate
Valentine.
I wasn't pointing at you. I knew what your answer would be now. Okay, you don't celebrate Valentine. Why?
Well, somebody that has the Buddha celebrates Valentine.
Ouch.
The Lord is my boo.
So you're like lonely, booless. Like,
I'm not lonely.
Did you go to church on Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day was on Tuesday as I went for Bible study.
Okay, wow. That's
anger management.
It was actually needed. I think your pastor must have been inspired by the Holy Spirit or whatever.
Anger management.
Because
MTN was trying to spoil people's Valentine.
After doing a very beautiful Valentine's Day message,
they actually spent all their energy on that thing. That's why you would not have network.
No. To be fair to them, they have different teams handling that. And I mean,
it doesn't concern me.
MTN's marketing department is like. It's like twice or four times Tech Point's entire team size.
They still spent their network a bit bandwidth they should have given us to do that.
They're using it to bant on social media.
Okay, yeah. But that was fun to see. At least no one did anything cringe worthy like we saw with Gala and La Casera a few years back, where La Casera was talking about the love story of Gala, and Gala just came and scattered everything. Like, come on.
It's just plain now.
I didn't know that. I probably was not on the internet on that.
2019.
2019.
I think I remember, but I can't really remember how it turned out.
Yeah.
But this year, I'm happy that, well, if you go to Tech Point Africa website, right, you will see things talking about love, like practical things that you used to talk about online dating, and now it's becoming a way people scam others. Then they talk about finding love in your workplace. Like, is your ex... or is your co-worker entering your eyes? Right, the paradigm is shifting.
So within the context of this paradigm, if you are living in Nigeria, you must have been seeing this whole issue with cash scarcity, fuel scarcity, riot in banks. I mean, thoughts and prayers with friends in Benin City, Edo State.
Not only Benin, Ibadan too.
Ibadan.
There was riot in Warri. And I heard that riot is happening in Ikorodu too, in Lagos State. Like,
I want to bust laugh, but let me not bust
laugh. I don't understand what's going on. I know people are on the edge.
It's not just people being on the edge.
So, let's get techie a bit before coming back to the human side of things. So, from what I observed, this whole cash wahala has brought a certain side effect to mobile transactions and POS transactions.
Good or bad?
Well, let's see. I'll leave you guys to be the judge. So if you look at a trend, for those watching, the video should be, the chart should be showing your screen right now, the volume of transactions, let's say for POS, in January, it dips. So in December, it spikes. It's like it hits the highest point in December. That's when people are doing Dirty December.
Spending,
I think,
a lot.
Nigerians spend the most in December, right? Yeah. So in January, it's understandable that it dips because that transaction. But so this time around,
December has 19 days.
December has 19 days. Then January, which has like 52, 60 days, transactions dip. But this time around, because of all this whole wahala, POS transactions volume increased. Same thing happened with mobile payments. The volume also increased. But guess what? The value compared to December dropped as usual. So it means a lot of high volume, low value transactions have been happening.
It's like, okay, the remaining money we had in December is still the normal one that we used to have in the remaining money we have in January, it's like the normal ones we have in previous years, but now more people are using mobile money or POS to collect those little money.
Exactly. So instead of say ATMs, instead of say mobile transfer, instead of say interbank transfers or online banking, they're using mobile money, they're using POS. But I find it weird because I'm willing to bet that all this supposed increase in e-payment transactions are just facilitating cash withdrawals.
Yeah, I think I agree with you.
They're not using it to pay for items. I am willing to bet that.
Yeah.
Not all, but a lot of it.
Yes, a lot of it.
Yeah, not all, definitely, but a lot of it.
for it to increase,
for it to increase,
that means it's like value. What people do on a daily basis to get cash to do to run some other things.
But also considering that getting cash has been really difficult, at least since the second week of January, getting cash has been really difficult. I don't know. It's not easy to see. I mean, we are seeing months, like an entire month. We can't see maybe specific days. But if you can see specific days, I will want to think that from the spike probably started from the second week of January, because you remember the deadline was supposed to be 31st, and like 2 weeks people started making plans either to deposit their money or to get the new notes, which was very difficult. And a lot of businesses, because of that, became more open to accepting transfers as payment. So I think if we are looking at that context, previous years, a lot of mobile money transactions have been to access cash. But now people are taking transfers as payment, as opposed to, I go to a POS agent, I withdraw money. Because now, so reportedly, anywhere from 50 to 80% of POS businesses have been put out of business because of this.
Okay, so that's a valid point, and it's very, very valid in this context. But you went to an abattoir last 2 weeks.
Yes.
You wanted to pay with transfer, but they told you, go and give it to POS guy so that you can collect cash and give it to them. Was that not what they were saying?
No. They were like, I can pay with POS. It reduces my charges.
It reduces your charges?
Yes, like I'm paying into another person's account through POS. I'm not collecting the cash.
You're not collecting the cash, but the person will give them cash.
No. The person transfers it to their account.
Their account.
Yes. Like that's particular stand in the abattoir was actually
the part where they cut, where they
so I had a similar experience. Okay. I think maybe 2 weeks ago, so we went to the market to get stuff. The first person said he wasn't taking transfer, we are going to get eggs, and said he's not taking transfer, but the second person was willing to take transfer for chicken and the few other things that we are getting. The second or the third person now was the one I was actually surprised. She was an elderly woman, not too elderly, but like maybe in her 50s or so. And I asked her, will you accept transfer? Because I didn't want to spend the cash I had considering how difficult it was. So I asked her, will you accept transfer? And she said, yes, but it wasn't going into her account. So there was this guy there who had an OPA account. So she said, pay it into his account. And then when I went to him, he was like, oh, sure, we can do that. Beside him, there was also another guy who was doing that. That one was willing to take a transfer. And he just said, no, let's just round up the three transactions and I'll send everybody their money.
So that's cool. In a way, the people that are selling to you understand the situation of things, right? And the only thing that I noticed that it kind of wastes your time, right? Because those people have to confirm that your transaction has gone through, especially with the way that bank transactions now get anged these days. Like, people might not receive what has been transferred to them until after days. You get, so the trust level is still low, but these people have to make do with that, right? Yeah. And I think we should just inform people that Nigerians till April, the 200 naira old notes will still be valid. But if you still have 1,000 naira or 500 naira old notes, you have to go and deposit it in a CBN bank that is a CBN branch that is close to you, because banks are not going to take that from you again.
Life is going to be hard for a lot of people. But yeah, if you're building something innovative around this, let us know. I know Kari, the guys that built the payment terminal for BRTs you see in Lagos, they've been trying to experiment with something around Danfo, but and according to their social media page, they said it's active in Oshodi, going to some key spots. But I think Bolu went there over the weekend, but they didn't find any of the Danfos that had it. So, but I'm expecting something interesting. And if you have any solution that you think we should be aware of, please pitch to any of us, but mostly this guy. Yeah, it goes there. So, but yeah, that's an interesting one. And for talking about startups, Nigerian startups have been raining funds left, right, center.
I thought there was economic crunch.
I thought we were all in the trenches together.
Abi.
You're in a different kind of trenches compared to them now.
You don't have to point out to me.
Wow.
But we are all in different parts of the trenches. But I don't know if it's anything to
celebrate.
I don't know. It's probably too early. This is just February. So, I mean, it's good that a lot of startups have raised money this week alone. Announced fundraisers are about 58 million.
$58 million combined.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is three of those are Series A and B. So one Series A, two Series B.
So it's been long I've seen a Series B.
Yeah, it's been a while. So I guess that's good.
So growth stage funding.
Yeah.
Not just seed and Series A. Oh, okay. That's a cool one. So you can find all these stories on TechPoint websites. You have people like Jendaya, Smile, Identity, Naked. What's his name?
Like,
I'm not pronouncing it currently.
It's Naked.
Naked. Like, you want to introduce yourself? I work with Naked. Naked.
Okay, so Curacell, Startup School alumni, I think. Yeah, the Startup School alumni. Alumnus. Precious. So, then Trips said they raised an additional $1.2 million over the past 12 months.
Yeah.
Then Power, close to $3 million. Blue Pass. Yeah, that's an interesting one. But, yeah, while these guys are raising money, South African telco is restructuring and they want to lay off a lot of staff.
Yeah. So, Telkom is one of the biggest telecommunication company in South Africa.
Yeah.
It's not Telkom, is spelled as T-E-L-K-O-M. And they announced that they are doing a restructuring. And the restructuring is going to affect a number of things. One of that is 15% of Telkom's workforce would be affected. That's like 1,770 jobs would be affected. And that's not the only thing that will be affected, but I think the reason behind this restructuring is, of course, economic situation. And then the other reason is that the company wants to move from old technologies to new technologies. So Telkom offers broadband and data services in South Africa, and it's just behind Vodacom and MTN. They've been doing well in the market. Was it not recently they got their 5G license?
Okay.
After MTN got it.
Okay.
So the restructuring is to move from old technologies to new technologies. I found out that, you know, What gives like fast internet speed is when you're using fiber, or there's this thing they call LTE.
And yeah, that's 4G.
That's 4G, like, so
4G LTE infrastructure. Okay.
Yeah. So, but Telkom also offers services in, there's this thing they call
VOLT,
VDSL, and ADSL.
Okay, right. Why are you giving us all these technical details? So, the laid off.
Yeah, so it's not only the laying off.
Mm-hmm.
So they are trying to, MTN doesn't offer for VDSL and ADSL.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, although it's not explicitly stated, that they are moving from that and focusing on fiber and LTE. In fact, one of the ways they plan to raise money is to kind of sell some of their
equipment.
Sell some of their stock in fiber.
Okay.
Yes, probably share tower, probably share mast, right? So that they can get more money. And they are planning to raise around.
So is this 55. Like a transition into an ISP?
No. They will still offer mobile services, voice calls and messaging.
Okay.
But they are doing restructuring so that they will meet customers' need. Because people are focusing more now on internet than what they are currently offering. And considering who they are competing with in the market, MTN and Vodacom, they have gone ahead of them in that. So this restructuring is necessary so that they can stay afloat and also meet customers' needs.
So these guys that were laid off now, is it that they've become obsolete?
Yeah, they said the people that are affected are in the business units and some of their subsidiaries that they are moving away from. So it's possibly.
All right, that's an interesting one. So they want to get an upgrade to their technology to state-of-the-art cutting-edge technologies. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things are going on in that space, and I wonder if telecom is really, really being... So, like, is it going to be about the technology? How does he want to wrest this market share from MTN and Vodacom?
It's not as if it's going for their market share. He just wants to stay afloat. At least the market that, the fraction of the market that's already has, he doesn't want them going to the competitors. So they have to meet their customers' needs and preferences.
Mm, okay. I mean, let's take Nine Mobile in Nigeria. I mean, they've been staying afloat, but we've not heard
tell you that they've been staying afloat. You that when you used to do data analysis, you know the way they go down the
they're always down.
So
I don't think telecom is as bad as Nine Mobile Nigeria,
but they don't want to get as bad as that.
Oh, okay.
Before they do something about their business.
Yeah. It's always nice when companies are forward thinking, but I'm just looking at the collateral damage for employees that have been laid off in the different subsidiaries. It reminds me of Meta's layoff, where they laid off people in departments where they felt like, we're still doing something.
And then they are now saying managers and directors will move to hands-on roles.
Wow.
Yes, that they will now be doing something like coding, doing research, doing design.
Like for telco.
Are they going to upskill them? Facebook?
Meta. Yes, I'm talking about Meta.
Oh, Meta.
Like heads of department now,
you're
directors.
Going, you'll be doing more hands-on
and
stuff.
Something after they have chased people that are doing hands-on away.
Okay, no problem. That's an interesting one. So moving to Ethiopia, also on telecoms, we heard that Ethiopia wants to give up 45% stake in Ethio Telecom. So Ethio Telecom is the state-owned telecom services provider in Ethiopia, and for a very long time they were the only ones offering telecom services of calls, SMS, were the only guys doing it for a long time, until it was 2020-2021 they started trying to open up their borders. So I think some other companies have gotten license already. So what's going on with Ethio Telecom right now?
So they are increasing the stakes that they are willing to sell from 40% to 45%. So they were, in 2021, that was when they began this process. And the idea was always to sell a percentage of their shares in order to just generate money and also to encourage more competition. So right now they are willing to sell 45%. It's still under 50%. So that ensures the government has some form of control over it.
Monopoly?
No, it's not a monopoly. So there's Safaricom in Ethiopia right now. And those ones are, I mean, that it's still...
Monopoly is not that they are not... they are the other guys. Well, like, they own majority of the market.
Yeah, they own majority of the market. But then you... I mean, it's still early days.
There's
nothing you can do
right
in 1 year to claim so much market share. So yes, technically, they are still a monopoly. But long term, I guess that will change. So they are going to be generating about $675 million from this sale. And yeah, basically, if you have money and you're interested, you want
MTN.
To. Yeah, MTN. People are looking forward to getting to Ethiopia.
I like Ethiopia. I like the country.
Yeah, but then the unstable government policies over the past few years, insecurity, because now one of the reasons this was prolonged is the civil war they've had in the past. So, I mean, it's probably one of the reasons why a lot of people are not rushing to go into the place. So
yeah, but after Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa, and Egypt, Ethiopia is like the largest market you would want to come in, and even in terms
Sudan
of population. So I met someone last year, right, and he was saying I should not believe everything I see in the Western media about Ethiopia, and that's gotten me thinking. So I can't say more about this, because getting a guy to an interview or to just have a chat has been really, really difficult. But it made me think, like, maybe stuff is happening in Ethiopia that we probably don't know about.
Maybe.
right?
I mean, it's easy for an African to say don't believe everything you see in the Western media, and it's not exonerating Western media that focuses on all the bad things.
The negative side.
Yes, we can't exonerate them, but it's natural for me, looking from the outside, to be skeptical. You want me to come do business, and you're just signing a peace pact after almost 2 years. It points to the fact that your politics is not yet stable. What happens if the peace pact breaks down tomorrow? Do we just pack our bags and go? Because that's the first thing. Now, you no longer be thinking about making money. You're now going to be thinking about staying alive, which is probably a more important thing to some people.
Okay, to be fair, I just remember the story that TechPoint did in 2019. So Yinka was then, he was the governance and policy editor at TechPoint and markets editor at TechPoint. So we interviewed a lot of Ethiopian founders. So we went to Ethiopia, we were on the ground for a few days, and we found out that, okay, these Ethiopian guys, the startup guys in Ethiopia, would go to neighboring countries like Kenya to be able to access the internet whenever internet shuts down. Because Ethiopia, if there's anything that comes to my head when I think of Ethiopia,
it's internet shutdown.
Yes, internet shutdown. I mean, apart from the fact that they were never colonized, those are the two things that popped into my head. Oh, these guys were never colonized. Oh, these guys always have internet shutdown. So the startup founders there, the entrepreneurs there, will move from Ethiopia to neighboring countries to be able to access internet during that period. And the internet shutdowns are for flimsy reasons. So, exam malpractice, this one, that one. So it's very, very, very funny. I'm not thinking of guys like Safaricom and MTN that wants to do business in this market. So yeah, you have a valid point about the tense political situation. Imagine just entering the market, you're still trying to get customers, then internet shutdown happen. Bah.
For maybe three months. Investment in
what? What do you do? Do you go and continue acquiring customers when you can't even serve them? You don't know, and they may not even tell you this how long it will last.
Yeah.
So it's, I think if we are going to fix a lot of growth in Africa, then you need to get our government,
our governance right. So right, that's an interesting one. So I just learned that Bamboo secured a sub-broker license. They followed Chaka's footsteps, right? So, I mean, in 2021, SEC announced that they were freezing their accounts because they were doing stuff illegally, which was very, very weird. It was not illegal. They were just
unregulated
because maybe, but I think so far so good, the SEC has been kind of forward thinking when it comes to regulating new technologies that the regulators in Nigeria are not familiar with. I think the SEC, where I always fault them, is when the CBN comes to that terrain, they shift back.
Possibly because their boundaries are not well delineated. So
yeah, when, for instance, the SEC actually recognized cryptocurrencies, when the CBN came, SEC, come to talk about it in our events, like the dinner, sir. But it's fine. I'm not holding grudges. So, this is a perfect time to remind you that our newsletters, we have like three beautiful newsletters going on behind the scenes. We're not making too much noise. We just want to make everything turn into a well-oiled machine. There's the Workaholic, spearheaded by Nifemi. I still don't know why she chose that name, but we bless God for everything. And
I know people trust me.
We trust you. But the entire idea is, if you believe that work should not suck, right, then subscribe to Nifemi's newsletter, The Workaholic. Then there's also FinTech Today, spearheaded by Chingo Zirim. So FinTech Today explores all the latest trends in the FinTech space, the financial services space. So all this whole brouhaha with cash, ATMs, and all of that. So now, do you know, the interesting part is, we forgot to mention this, in terms of bank, I don't know, okay, yeah. Chingo Zirim last week wrote about CBN putting the cart before the horse with financial inclusion with Afrigo. Then talked about the Bosch cash policy that is causing chaos right now. Guess what? Intelligence by TechPoint actually showed us that Nigeria has just a little over 4,000 commercial bank branches in Nigeria.
What?
Serving 100 and something million adults. CBN gave cash to only the banks, and I'm pretty sure not all branches will even get this cash. Then there's
some branches are even overwhelmed because the cash, I mean, what I saw yesterday, they had to limit, Stanbic IBTC Bank had to limit what they were giving over the counter to 4,000 naira.
4,000 naira.
And one of the guys who came there was like, 4,000 naira, what can I possibly do with 4,000 naira?
Transport.
Another person was like, right now, I spent 500 naira to get here. If I withdraw 4,000 naira and I take another 500 naira home, I might as well just give 500 naira to PS agent.
Or even 1,000 naira to PS.
Instead of wasting my time.
So wasting time. That's a very, very sad one. And if you even look at the geography of banks in Nigeria, you see, okay, most of them are even concentrated in Lagos. Yeah, over 1,000 in Lagos.
Out of the 4,000.
Over 1,000 in Lagos. So the remaining 35 states have to share like the remaining 3,000 plus banks. And yeah, you might say Lagos is populous, but Kano is a populous city. Ibadan is a populous city. Onitsha is dense. Like, it's a small place.
It's dense.
Like, densely populated compared to the, relative to the size, right? So, all these things are all captured in Intelligence upcoming FinTech report. A lot of juicy, juicy details. You know, the number of FinTech startups in Nigeria, the number of mobile money agents in Nigeria, and, of course, Chingo's University that will be capturing everything. What did I miss? We're announcing, what are we announcing today? Are we announcing anything? What are we announcing? Yay! Yes, finally. I told you there was something brewing behind the scenes, and you'll be one of the, if not the first to hear about this. TechPoint is hosting the maiden edition of the Lagos Startup Expo. Come and showcase all the innovative things you are building to help us cope with this cash crisis. Come and innovate. Come and collaborate. Come and network. Just come. Come as you are. We're not doing... So, just... TechPoint has been hosting events for over 5 years, since 2017. We hosted Inspired, we hosted Build, we merged Inspired and Build. We had a very, very massive turnout in 2021. Now, we decided to evolve and tweak things a little bit. This is just a time for you to come and showcase all the amazing things you've been building. Come and network with prospective customers. Come and meet prospective investors. And come and get yourself in the spotlight. Let the media also see you. Because, yeah. That's what we are. We're media. Yeah, and we're going to be inviting our guys to come to Lagos Startup Expo from other media houses. So, yeah. Don't come. When is it holding again? May 20th, right? At Landmark. Yes. So don't miss. Just keep that date on your calendar. You're a startup out there, especially early stage startups, growth stage startup. Just come. It's for everybody. So what time? What else did I miss again? How many times have I said this today?
Excited.
Let's end this podcast. I don't understand. Oh yes, go to TechPoint.Africa.
That's all the participation. You just go there, sign up.
You just go there and sign up. TechPoint.Africa/events/Lagos Startup Expo. If you want the exact URL, or I think LagosStartupExpo.com should be live by now too. But yeah, that's pretty much all we're talking about today. Then, of course, don't forget our flagship newsletter, TechPoint Digest, handled by Victoria. Good. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.